And
And
okay, myself and
Mr.
Kelly are in the office.
So can you guys just repeat who's on the call so I can get this for the minutes?
Dinah, the three commissioners.
Okay, great, thank you.
Is Kelly there?
Yep.
Okay.
I am. Yep.
Kelly's in the office.
Yep. Everybody relax.
And is Jerusha there as well?
Yeah, I just said that.
Okay. So I'll ask, before we get started, I'll ask Paula, do you want to take the minutes today, Paula, or do you want to let Jerusha try?
Oh, no, let me do it, and then she can sort of listen in and kind of see what's going on, and then she can start as soon as she's ready.
Okay.
But I'll do it today. I've already got it set. I've already got them all set up from last week with all the it's all ready to go. So.
Great. All right, so I'll call the meeting to order at 9:01, and I'll make a motion for the approval of the proposed agenda. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, we'll jump right down to, actually I'm going to jump down to Kelly. I have administration first, but we'll go to Kelly. So, Kelly, what's up?
Real quick today, I got nothing much going on. The International 7400, we blew a fuel pump the other day, so that went in for service. We got it back this morning, and because it was out all night, the fuel gelled up on it. So I got that sitting in the road. I got to get back out there and get that going. So if you guys have anything for me, fire away. I have nothing, just snow.
Yep. I just have one question, and it relates to the manifest, which we'll be talking about in a minute, but if you're going to leave, there was a Albany service charge of about $1,100. Was that for the International, or was that one of the other trucks?
No, that's for that.
Okay, got it.
It had to be towed, Jay. It had to be towed out of the district, so...
Yeah, I know. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions for Kelly. Just one comment. Good job on that last snowstorm, which had 6 inches of sugar snow. Good job.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah. Kathy or Paula, do you have any questions for Kelly?
Nope, nothing.
Nope.
It looks good from here.
Good. Look. Yeah. No, nice job on that. It was good.
That's good. Get in and out of here. I like it.
All right. We'll warm her up. Thanks, Kelly.
I'll be, you know where I am if you need me.
Okay.
All right, girls.
Bye. Yeah, bye. Good luck.
Going to jump right into administration, and first and foremost, I want to welcome our new administrative assistant who just started this week, Jerusha Murray. How are you doing, Jerusha?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
Okay, great. Jerusha, don't hesitate to ask questions during this meeting if you don't understand what we're saying or what we're doing. For some people, it's a foreign language, but you'll get used to it. All right. Just going to jump right down to the administrative report. And I know tomorrow is the day that we had promised Adelizer we would complete our research of the documents that he's looking for. And, Don, I'll let you... speak to what we've been able to do so far. I mean, there's been a lot of things that we've sent them over the time.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't had time in the office here to get to anything. Now that Jerusha's here, I know I can get things done more efficiently and probably next week be able to send most of the stuff out.
Okay, so do you think it still exists or... Because I couldn't find
I have no idea, Jay. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea.
Okay. All right, so Kathy.
Well, Jay,
Paula,
did you? You're saying, Jay, did you send him some? Did you look at the outstanding stuff and determine you don't think it exists? Or?
I know there were some things that I was able to find on my computer, and so I sent those, and those were forwarded to Adam. There are other things that I just can't find. They may be on the office computer, but most of what's on the office computer is on all of our computers. And so some of those things, and we've already discovered this, that some of the documents he's asking for don't even exist. We're not even sure what he's...
Well, then why don't we send him a note? I would send him a note today,
yep,
tomorrow at the latest, and say, hey, Adam, this is the day we told you we'd be done. Well, then send it to him today and say, "This we promised we'd have this complete by tomorrow. We believe we've sent you everything that we have, but we want to go through all of our records one more time against your request, and make sure that we have everything you've asked for that we can provide. I'll get back to you by next Thursday." And just say that, and then look at for it next week. But send him that note today.
Yeah.
We can't miss the date we gave him. And tell him we think we've sent him everything, but we want to check again just to be sure.
Okay.
Because it sounds like
I think
you've sent him everything. Is that right?
Yep.
No,
I haven't
sent him anything from the office if it's here at the office, Paula.
No, but Jay's saying he thinks it doesn't exist.
Okay.
No, I mean, you have sent him a lot of documents, right?
Yeah, I've sent him what I've sent him.
Right.
And then the ones that were outstanding on that list, you went through, but I haven't had time to get to it, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. So what Paul is saying is that we still should respond to him by the date that we promised, that we're going to take one more week to go over and make sure that everything we believe we do have, we have sent him, and if not, we'll get that to him in the next week.
Yeah, or say to him, if you don't feel comfortable saying that, say, we haven't been able to get a look through, I need to go through, look at it one more time at your request. I think we've sent you a lot. I want to review it one more time next week, and you know, but we acknowledge that this is the date we gave you, and I can't guarantee that you've got everything. We want to go back through one more time next week, and we'll get back to you by next Thursday. Whatever you feel comfortable saying, knowing what you know, just you have to get back to him before tomorrow,
right?
And let him know. If you don't think you're done. So send him a note today, whatever you feel comfortable saying, and that would be great.
Yeah. Because these documents, if they still exist or do exist, and or a response is required by law.
Yes.
Okay. So can you do that, Donna? Send him an email.
And I have asked for assistance in that because of the time frame here at the office, so...
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said I did ask for assistance here at the office because I physically couldn't get to it myself, and that's what's holding us up also.
It doesn't even matter that you asked for help, Donna. The point is we promised him an answer by tomorrow. Just get back to him and say we can't finish it by tomorrow. As long as you inform him in writing that you can't get it done, it's okay. But you have to let him know by the deadline. That's all. That's all. We understand that you asked for help, but you don't want to, you know, it's not about telling him that and trying, it's not about pointing fingers at anybody. It's just about following.
No, I don't want to point any fingers at anybody, but, yeah. Okay, thank you.
We understand that you asked for help, and that's fine.
You know, we've sent him everything that we can locate, but we'd like a week to go through it one more time to make sure nothing got missed.
Yeah.
It's hard to look for something we don't have. You know, you could spend all day,
exactly,
you know, or all year looking for something we don't have. So we just want to make sure that everything that we've addressed all the concerns and sent you what we could locate. But we want another week to go through to make sure we haven't missed anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we have, Paula had sent out the minutes of 2/11/21 and the non-public of 2/11/21. So I'll make a motion that we approve. Oh, wait a minute. Here's my change.
I'll second that.
So I'll make a motion that we approve those minutes, but I do have one change.
Oh.
And let me go and sign those.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll do it all.
These are from 2:11, Jay, that sealed the public minutes?
Yep. And okay. Here we go. Okay. On the second, under number two, under administration, we were talking about the heating unit for the garage with Kelly. And I'm trying to 7 lines down. Under number two, there's a sentence that begins with, we might need to put a new electric heater in the office to replace the current system. It's actually supplement, not replace the current system. We have the Mitsubishi heat pump, and an electric baseboard would be to supplement that heat.
Okay.
I'll change that and resend it. Hold on. I'm just going to do a strike through and put the new word, supplement. Okay.
Yep.
And now I'll save this and send it back to the office later.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's the only change I have. Anybody else? Okay, all in favor of the minutes as amended, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All right, so Donna, you have scheduled a audit review with Scott Egan for Monday, the 22nd.
Yeah, I worked with Catherine on Monday and Tuesday, and we got a lot of the financial stuff uploaded and sent to him. We touched base with Scott, and when I'm working with Catherine on Monday, we have a call in to see if there's anything else that's a financial wise for Catherine, and just to make sure everything's getting sent in to them. We're working on it, and we got a lot done on Monday and Tuesday. So
okay.
It was a good work period.
Great.
Okay. All right. And something that I
and
was asking.
I don't know if you did see Scott's email, the time frame when the audit will be. They're shooting for it to be completed. It was April.
At the end of April.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of April.
End of April. So that'd be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be ready in time for the annual meeting. Well, this year, the annual meeting. Okay.
Yeah.
And
when Catherine and myself went on the DRA just for checking last year's information that we needed, I just want to let you know that all our documentation has to be uploaded, but after our annual meeting, I believe it's June 11th, everything has to be posted. I just wanted to keep you in the loop.
Okay. And we had some discussion last week about overtime for part-time employees, especially our plow driver. And so I went on to him to DOL and found that it's not on a daily basis that we accrue overtime. It's on a weekly basis, which would be 40 hours or more. So just remember that, Donna and Jerusa, if you ever get a time card from a part-time employee that succeeds 40 hours, that they would be owed overtime in excess of 40 hours in that pay week. All right?
Right.
Okay. So fund transfers. We did some fund transfers for the past few weeks, and one of them that sort of kept me awake recently was the $15,000 reimbursement to the operating budget for the water project. And it was done, I believe we signed off on it last week. My question is, How does this now affect our books as we closed our books on January 31st and we made these this transfer in February of 2021? So, in other words, will the budget show a $15,000 less left in the operating budget because of the date exceeding January 31st?
I read the agenda, and I don't think it makes any difference. All you're doing is moving money from one of our accounts to another one of our accounts. The cash flow in our operating budget is not indicative of our expenditures. So whatever money we spent out of the water account, we just use the operating budget to supplement that till we receive the grant. Whatever we spent, we spent. If the checks went out, the checks went out. What account it came from is really not critical or even relevant when you look at our operating budget. So if we spent the money, we spent it. Didn't really matter what account it came out of.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, that's understandable.
Okay.
But it was just the time frame. If we were to say today, okay, let's close the books today, we would show $15,000 more in our 2020 budget than we would have just last week. And, I mean, the $15,000 towards our overall budget may not sound like much, but it does show where we were prudent and very thrifty this year. And I just wanted that to be reflected.
Right, it is, because if we took the money out of the operating budget and moved it to the water tank budget, we didn't spend it on operations. So it doesn't show up as an expense to the operating budget.
Right,
it just shows it's a cash flow thing. So if
it's kind of a loan. It's kind of like a loan.
So,
it's not an expense.
Right. It doesn't show as it doesn't ding our operating budget when we do that.
Right. Okay.
But what it will show is that instead of showing a negative cash balance in the tank, the Reinhart tank account, you're just moving the money from one pocket to another. It's still our cash, and we didn't spend it on operating items, so it won't be a negative reflection on our 2020 end-of-year expenditures.
Right.
So we didn't spend it. We transferred it. And then whatever got spent was actually going to be dinged against the warrant article, not against the operations.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. Okay, moving down to accounts payable. So today we have a manifest of 7 checks for a total of $4,441.25, and that is as of today, February 18th, 2021. I'll make the motion that we approve the manifest for $4,441.25. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. I do have some questions, and if Donna or Drew are in the office, if they could, let's see. So we've paid Catherine $566.50. Is that for the month, or how is that broken down? Is that Catherine's monthly bill?
I can send you out her thing. It's kind of like I can do this going forward. I thought of that yesterday, but on her invoice, she puts exactly what worked on and everything, so I will send you out each of you a copy of the invoice.
Okay, great.
I think Donna, is that from 1 week or was that from a month?
No, it was from January 4th through February 15th.
Okay, I think that's all we were asking. That's 6 weeks worth of work. That's fine. You don't need to send us anything.
And the AmeriGas bill, is that for several tanks filled or?
Let me just pull that. It's one's for the chemical room, DPW 1, and the other's for DPW 2. There's two invoices.
Yeah. Okay. And I did notice the invoice from our lawyer, $731. And was that just that one correspondence you had with regards to our annual meeting?
$459 was applied to the annual meeting, and $272 was went to the additional information for the 91 request for working with Adam.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the other questions that Adam had first. Okay.
So I guess, Jay, I think we discussed this last week. Why are we being billed for that correspondence from Chris Bolt, the attorney, about the annual meeting? He just said, yes, there's a lot of questions to be answered, and no one really knows for sure what's going to happen. He didn't give us any answer on anything, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is, I'm trying to remember, and I went back and looked. We simply informed him of what we were planning on doing with our annual meeting.
Right. And he overreacted. He overreacted a little bit, saying, "Stop! Stop! Stop! You can't do this." I'm like, "No! We've got it under control.
Yeah.
We, you know, that whole emergency order thing." So there was no reference. I mean, shouldn't say there was no assistance that he provided to us or advice that he replied to that he was forwarding to us based on those decisions.
Right.
I'd have a hard time paying that.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I thought maybe there was some other correspondence that we were inquiring for additional information. Okay.
How you want to handle that?
Yeah, I'll take a look at that invoice when I get back into the office. But we do have the motion on the floor for the $4,441.25. We've already clarified some of these with Kelly and Donna. Do we have any other questions?
So are you asking Donna to hold the check till we get final approval from the three of us to send it?
I'm just trying to do some math in my head because it seems like a lot of hours.
Can you just send us a copy of those invoice, Donna?
Yeah.
And we can look at it and then just hold the check till next week and we'll look at it this week and then have a discussion about it next week.
Yes.
Okay.
He also didn't break out. So some of the billing, he combined, you know, a single phone call with the 91A request and the annual meeting. So that was one thing I did notice that he didn't actually separate entirely. So some of these phone calls could have been more the 91A than the annual meeting, but he put them all in one. He kind of combined the time. So you'll see that when you read the detail.
All right. That's great. All right.
Okay. But he did the whole 91A thing, but the whole annual meeting thing, the several emails to us were not answers to any of our questions. I thought, kind of wasted time. And we thought that even when we got the email back then that, you know, well, yeah, we know that. You're not telling us anything we don't already know. So
we hadn't requested the information from him. So, yeah, let's look at this, because I have all those emails from him, too, because I was one of the ones corresponding with him.
Right.
So we should all look at it. And I'll compare it to all the emails. Yeah.
Right. And the NHMA just said you should notify your attorney that this is the route you're going to be taking with how you're going to handle your annual meeting. And that's all we were doing was notifying him.
Right.
So, you know, we weren't saying, what do we do? Anyway, we know.
Yeah. So the motion we have the motion on the floor for $4,441.25. I guess we're ready to vote. So I vote yay. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. But we're holding that check. We're going to hold that check. Okay. And you're going to send us the invoices, Donna.
Yeah, with Purusha.
Yeah, send it right now.
Okay. Since we have no payroll this week, we have no other manifest for the water project. But I do want to talk about manifest in general. Paula had brought this up quite a while ago, and I noticed that we've been doing a manifest every week. And like the payroll, where we actually make a payroll disbursement every 2 weeks, can we, just for efficiency purposes, do manifests every 2 weeks, the odd week other than the payroll? Is there a reason why we're doing it every week?
That's what I learned. I didn't know one way or the other. But I can do whatever you tell me. The only thing... that would be different if We had to get the retirement check to the retirement in a timely fashion.
Right. And those are monthly, is that correct, the retirement?
That's monthly, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't fall on the same week as, you know, if we did it every other week. I just want to make sure that that check gets to the retirement on time.
Oh, absolutely.
Would this impact your work with Catherine? Like, would you then now only have to work with her every other week?
The manifest, the manifest doesn't have anything to do with Catherine.
Yeah. But Dawn, I think what Jay's saying is, would it make the office more efficient by lumping all those bills and just doing them once every 2 weeks versus printing checks every week, or
yeah,
it's going to be an hour each time regardless of whether we lump them together or not? If it's easier to, instead of doing the whole process, to print 6 checks, wait and do it and do 12 or 15 all at once once you get into the rhythm of...
It would be much more efficient.
Okay, and that was the point. Not that we want you to do it every 2 weeks, but would it make sense to do it every 2 weeks? And even Catherine mentioned, "Wow, you do checks every week. That seems, you know," she was surprised by that. Yeah, and Jerusa may even have some input on that too. You know, does that seem odd that we run that manifest every single week?
You're a small office. I mean, Bridgeton was much bigger, so we did weekly, but the Board of Selectmen meetings were only every other week. So depending on the expense. You know, a lot of things we did have to, you know, some things we had to push and some things we didn't. The retirement, I'll double check the legal requirements. From a fiduciary standpoint, I believe it's either 7 or 15 days. You know, there's some requirements, so I think you'd be fine with the every 2 weeks. We just want to double check.
They have a date that the check has to get to them.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why.
Okay. So basically, we're leaving it up to the office to decide that, you know, again, if maybe there's a whole bunch of checks that came in or a whole bunch of invoices that came in when we get back on track with the Reinhardt Tank project, then, yes, let's just get these 10 checks done this week. If not, say, look, there's a piddling little, you know, 4 or 5 little checks. We'll wait and do it next week. So maybe I think what I think we're telling you, maybe Jay and Paula can chime in, is that don't stress out about trying to get the manifest done every single week. If there's not enough there that's worthwhile getting into your check printing mode, then just wait till the following week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you? That,
so
is that,
you,
is
you
that your thought, Jay?
The opposite weeks of the payroll.
Yeah. Yeah. The opposite weeks of the payroll. Right.
Okay. All right. I think that's really just we're trying to make decisions based on what's easiest for the office, because it doesn't matter to the commissioners unless obviously there's bills that have to get paid or we. You know, like when we got the loan payment information and we were already past due before we even got notified, so then that would create a separate situation. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're flexible with the office on how we do that.
Now that the loan payments, several of them are going to be made via automatic payment, how will we hear of that? Will that be on the manifest, but it won't be a check? Like, how will that be reported? And it should be kind of public information. Will that go on some? Will that just be something that the office tells us?
I'm sure they'll send you. Will they send you an email when the withdrawals are made?
They usually do.
Yeah, or when she balances the checkbook.
I would assume they would. Dinah, do you have an input on that?
I don't really know if they know. I would think we'd get a notification. Of course, you would see the debit coming out of our operating account to pay for it, and that would be proof.
When we balance the checkbook, it would show up there, certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That comes out once a month, though.
Yeah. I think they would send you an email. I know any of my credit cards that are on auto pay, they're always sending you a notice that it's being taken out on a certain date.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, could we just figure that out? And to Paula's point, I think it would be very appreciated if we saw that in those disbursements, that we actually saw that on our agenda, that it was in fact made and that we're aware of it.
Certainly.
Okay. All right. Jumping down to the 2021 proposed budget, Kathy, Paula, do you see any changes that we believe might be necessary to what we've already put together?
Well,
I'm sorry,
I know
that
the
annual meeting.
Oh. Okay. Well, the budget. So,
the budget.
If we've gotten and received, now that it's February 18th, any of the bills that came in January and that should have been posted to the 2020 budget. I think that it seems like all that's been wrapped up by now. If you want to send me the most recent profit and loss for all of last year. So under the reports, just put last year, and it will get us through 12/31. And I'll update or review the budget that I have as far as what we've spent, and then if it would affect any of our budget numbers for 2021, if we would make any adjustments based on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kathy,
Kathy,
I know that we're only into February, but we usually do the budget drawdown every month. Do you think you might be able to have a report for the next meeting?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to do that,
right.
Donna. So send me this year to date profit and loss, and I'll start the new sheet for 2021. Yep.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. So that's on the budget. Now on the annual meeting, which we've now set for the May 22nd. So one of the warrant articles on there is for a article to expend some money to have the lodge, the lot that the lodge and cabana sit on, surveyed for a possible subdivision. So let me just bring everybody up to speed as to what I've been able to find out so far. Ron Briggs is a land surveyor in Conway. Is very familiar with Idlewise. We had reached out to him to partake in getting a quote, and he has responded back that the lodge. I'm sorry. Somebody saying something?
That's kind of noisy.
No? Oh, okay. That the lodge and the cabana building actually reside on their own individual lots, and he has not only a map, a very old map showing that, but he also has a written deed to each of those buildings from Great Northern. So I called Town Hall, Linda Shackford, to ask why the Avatar tax assessors have them combined onto one lot, and she sent, and I sent it to you as well, a map that they have from 1970 showing that those two buildings are on one lot. So
can I interrupt for a second, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. The map you sent us shows the lodge on a separate lot and the pool and the cabana on its own lot. That's what you sent us.
I'll have to take another look at it, but I thought I was looking
Did you look at it, Paula?
I did, but I
just sent it out.
I didn't really look at it. No, I can't say that.
Okay.
I looked at it that closely.
Okay. So what I looked at from you, Jay, it's open. And maybe this is what the surveyor Briggs sent you. I don't know. No, it definitely shows.
No.
It shows. They call it the bathhouse. They call it the. They call it the bathhouse, which is now the cabana, and it shows the pool, which is this little kind of, you know, kidney-shaped area, outlined in pink on one lot, and then it shows the lot on a separate lot. And then below all of that is a big chunk of land labeled reserved.
I got you what you're saying now. Yeah.
Okay. Is this what Linda sent you?
What you're saying. Yeah. So this is what Ron Briggs would probably be able to provide. Okay. I think Linda interpreted this differently, thinking that the bathhouse and maybe the pool was the lodge.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The lodge is shown on a separate lot on this piece of paper.
I see what you're looking at, Kat. I see what you're looking at. Yeah, so this shows two. This shows. Is this what you wanted to do,
lots.
Jay?
Yeah.
We have.
Yeah.
Is there anything on the lot with the lodge that, like, where's that little building with the pump house? Isn't there a pump house up there? Something?
Yeah, there
what
is. But that is there. But it's on the other side under the words something.
Well.
Where it says well. That's where the other
It's a little tiny square off the other the opposite side of the parking lot.
So that's not part of that lot. So,
no.
So kind of the
no.
road, and it looked like the road is the parking area, right? So that's considered
yeah.
road. So the question is there a driveway for the lodge? That you know.
And is it a 2-acre lot? Is it a sellable, is it a conforming lot? Is that 2 acres worth of land there? Or is
no,
otherwise
no,
exempt from that?
It's exempt. Well, it's not exempt. It is a lot of record, so you can sell it as it is. I mean, every lot in Idlewise is under 2 acres.
Okay.
So
wait,
you'd be selling it as
map,
it is.
Is this map from Idlewise?
No, this
I
is
mean,
from the town of
Madison.
Madison?
But it yeah. just says Great Northern. Didn't you say his? He said his was from the Great Northern Land Corporation?
Yeah. So he probably
but,
has
what,
the same map.
So are you
map.
Saying, are they taxing us based on this map? Is it correct
oh, no,
with the way they're taxing?
We're tax exempt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But what it does show on the tax maps, the current Avatar tax maps, is
okay.
that the lodge and the bathhouse are all on one lot. The pool no longer
okay.
exists.
But the land so where the pool was, what is it? Where is that on the map for the taxes?
That's in that orange. See that pink outlined
oh, no, I
area.
See that, but I'm saying based on what Jay's referencing, the maps, the current tax maps, is that
yeah,
even though there's no pool, is that whole
okay.
that whole piece of land also part of the lot on the tax?
That is correct.
Okay.
So we have evidence that this is evidence that at some point that lodge area was subdivided out from the bigger piece. So it's
right.
existing as its own lot that can be sold as is without having to have anything resurveyed.
Right, exactly. Now, in speaking, there was a point in time when the town of Madison, probably about 10 years ago, did some what they call involuntary mergers of properties, and some of those were in Idlewise. It may have been done in error, and so the town is willing to undo any of those mergers that they did without consultation with the landowners. So this may
okay.
be one of those under the new Avatar map, and Linda said if that's the case, all we need to do is present the documentation, and they'll take care of it.
Okay. Right, so maybe and that could have been part when they reassigned all those lot numbers. So instead of being C33, it now has a map and a lot number. And when they
right.
went through that whole relabeling, renumbering process. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's good news then. That, you know,
that saves money if we want to do that. I guess the question I have is, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because it seems to affect several lots up there, is this area of restricted use, which I assume is because of the well. That has
yeah.
to be would be written. That would be part of someone's deed, or that would be, I guess, part of. They can't do any construction, I guess, in there. Is that what?
Well, they can't really put their. They may not be able to put their septic system in there, and it's not there currently. So it's outside of what's called a protective radius of that well.
Okay.
That's what that dotted ring is for.
Okay, and what about parking for this lot? We haven't discussed that, right? Because would we have them just park on? There's no driveway.
Yeah, yeah there is no driveway, and it probably would be difficult to get one in. They probably would apply for a driveway, which would just be off the edge of the road, like so many houses on Oak Ridge. They would be allowed to do that. I'm trying to think if there's any houses in Idlewise that don't even have a driveway. No, I think everybody does.
It would certainly be a challenge for plowing purposes if they were parking on that area, on that parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the concern I would have. We have to really understand is where if you bought this place, where are you allowed to park?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess it wouldn't even be our problem, really. I mean, if somebody wanted to buy it, they would have to figure out, gee, where are we going to park? And they've got to bring in, you know, tons and tons of fill to make a flat area there off the edge of that paved parking lot. Well, I guess it's sort of paved parking lot. Then that's what they'd have
okay.
to do. Just like the one, like the new one on Oak Ridge, Jay, that they're doing up near you.
Yep. Yep. That's it. They're going to have to bring in a lot of fill just to create parking for two cars. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So that would be on the owner, not on us.
Yeah, the point
you
I was
just have to make that clear to the real to whoever sells it. I mean,
The point I was trying to make is that we may be able to remove this article from our warrant, then if this is in fact true that there are already separate lots, then I guess my question is, should we seek three realtors to give us a comparative market analysis on that building so that we can go to town meeting and tell the voters what they think it's worth?
Sure. I mean, it doesn't hurt to give them the information.
Yeah, okay. All right. Does anybody want to authorize me to go ahead and make contact with, or we can have Donna reach out to three realtors and ask her to have them come and do a CMA?
The office should be able to do it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's pretty easy.
Yeah. And, I mean, do you have anybody in mind? I mean, would you want to use like Select Realty because they're so familiar with Edelweiss and its challenges, and then maybe two others?
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't matter who. There's obviously a lot of – there's no inventory on the market right now, so this would be easy for anyone to want
our
to take a look at.
Edelweiss.
Yeah, there's nothing to sell right now. It's not like they're
– The only thing is without a map telling – we don't know how much acreage this is, right? I mean,
right.
Are we going to have to survey this? Because these maps are not very,
it'll be in the deed.
There's no dimensions. There's no dimensions on this.
Yeah.
Right. It'll be in the deed. Dimensions are in the deed, the text word of the deed.
So who has, did you say you have the deed or the guy in Conway has the deed?
Ron,
the registry,
Registry of Deeds has the deed. He's already got the copy.
Oh.
Yeah.
And does it indicate in there what?
Yeah.
Can we get a copy of it?
Yeah, that's what he's leaving us tomorrow on Friday. I'm supposed to go by his office and pick it up.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Perfect. All right, well, good.
Wait. Yeah, so Donna, let's go back. So who are we going to have the office contact? And now we're going to give them a copy of that deed. Let's get into the specifics here of what we're asking Donna or Jerusha to do.
I'll stay out of it because I recently had a real estate transaction and I don't want to have a conflict of interest by suggesting anybody.
I think we should get that guy who sells a lot of real estate in here. What's his name?
Well, Select Realty does
that's
an awful lot
Jim
in the
Lyons.
District.
Yeah.
Jim Lyons,
the other
right.
one
and
is,
then,
I'll tell you who the other, I can't think of their name. What's that guy's name? I'm constantly getting mail from him.
Pinkham Realty?
Yeah.
Might be Pinkham.
No? That's what I think you're thinking of.
You think? I'm going to the real estate site to look up what's currently listed. There's about
three
houses.
If you're thinking Pinkham, it's Dave Grant. Are you thinking of Dave Grant?
No.
Okay.
I don't think
Steve
so.
Steve Anderson or?
Anderson, that's the guy, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Is he at Pinkham?
Yep. He's from Pinkham, yep.
Doesn't he sell a lot in here?
Yep, Pinkham does. Select,
yeah,
I see.
I would call him.
And then
I would call. Badger, maybe? What?
Yeah, Badger. There's
Badger.
That woman. No.
Badger, I deal with them looking for.
I wouldn't just get the office. I would call the actual person who knows the room. Because they sell in different parts of their states. You can't just call Pinkham and say, you got to call. Like I would call Jim Lyons.
Mary.
I would call Steve Anderson.
McDonald. Margie McDonald. Hey, Jay. Jay, what about Margie McDonald?
Margie McDonald's.
Because she's local.
You can do more.
Max,
this is
she Max. She might be Remax.
Remax, that's it. That's what yeah.
Well, there's three right there. Now you have three.
Yep.
Okay. And you're not limited to three either. If you have others in mind, that's fine too.
At least three. Those three would be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. That takes care of that.
Nice job.
And Donna, do we have any signature items today? I didn't see anyone out there yesterday. Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm going to jump right down to commissioner's reports.
But can we? I'm sorry. Can we go back to this real estate thing? Because I like to keep things moving or decide how long they're going to take. So these guys, this week they're going to reach out to three or more if they have more brokers. They're going to get them a copy of the the deed. And are they going to set up an appointment for them to meet somebody up at the lodge so they can go through it?
Yep.
I mean, you can't do an estimate. So who's going to be the person that meets them up there to show them around? I mean, Jay, do you know the most about the lodge? Maybe you should be the person that does this. I mean, I can meet somebody up there and take them around. I don't care, but we just need to decide.
Yeah, I'll take them through. We'll have to shovel
probably
the walkway.
Has to be shoveled out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to shovel the walk, all that walkway to get to it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to reach these people and tell them to contact Jay Buckley to set up an appointment to see the lodge.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to be specific. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like, but let's just decide on what we're doing if we're going to do something. So you just call them. They're going to then start asking all these questions. And I'd be clear that this is just something we're considering. Not definite. We're trying to understand what the value is. You know, we're looking for an estimate. And, you know, the other thing we should ask them at some point is how are they going to market it? I mean, I'd like to know what their plan would be.
Yeah, because it's an odd building.
So we had a... We had a building, a tax acquired building in Bridgeton that we sold, and we put out an RFP for basic, you know, listing services. So we kind of put it on the agent to tell us based on comps what they thought the best approach was and how to market it. The end of the day, we ended up actually just doing an auction because the property wasn't worth as much as we thought, and it didn't really warrant sale with a realtor, but we put it right on them to tell us what their commission would be, how they would market it, what the price would be, and let them do the work.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Okay.
Then,
do we want to do an RFP in that regard? And we want to take this to the point, because I just think the more vague we are, guys, we're not going to get an answer. So this is a tough. It's an odd property because it's a great lot, but it's in a lot of disrepair. That building, you know what?
And
how
it's
old
not
is
and
septic.
It's,
there is
yeah,
no
and
driveway.
The thing is,
I mean, there's a lot of issues with it. So
and
it's not
the
simple,
plumbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plumbing is the issue too because it's gonna as it stands now, it cannot be used in the wintertime because of the plumbing. So it is exposed underneath the building.
I mean, it might be that it is going to cost us some money to have an inspection done. We might want to have an inspection done so we know the state of they might come back and say, you really should have this inspected before we try to sell it. So I don't think it's a typical property sale, that's all, because I think it's got a lot of issues. So,
and that was suggested that we get an inspection when we get to that point, get an inspection. Mm-hmm. So that we, the district, knows what is wrong with the building so that we don't get sidetracked with the potential buyer telling us otherwise. So inspections usually run about $400. A building of that size might run a little bit higher, maybe $500.
But should we do that before?
Pretty small.
How can any of these real estate agents give us an estimate if they don't know? We don't know the state of the building. And, you know...
Yeah, they give their estimate prior to usual. Most home inspections are usually done when an offer is made.
Right.
Yep.
I guess my question is, how are you going to pick a realtor? Is it going to be the one that gives us the best price, or is it going to be the one that comes in and says, here's how I would do this? Like, what are we asking these guys for, I think is the question still on the table.
Right.
I think, Paula, what they're going to do is just exactly what the guy that gave us the estimate on the truck. All they do is look at comps that sold in the area, and that's kind of the only metrics that they can use. You know, being subjective got everybody in trouble years ago, so they're really limited to finding a comp. And that's how they're going to come up with a value.
How are you going to choose a broker then?
Well, I mean, that's way, way down the road. We don't even know if we want to sell the lodge. I think that's going to be a voter issue, even though I think we have the authority to do it. I would never do that without getting the voters' support on doing it. And so we're looking at 2 years down the road. So I think it'd be just good to get at least a, is it worth 150 or 250? I think we don't even know the answer to that.
Yeah, but 2 years down the road, Kathy, the market could change significantly.
Right, yeah.
I mean, look at what's going on with real estate right now in Idlewise. So my question is, why bother? If we're not really serious about doing this soon, then don't bother. Let's just let it sit for another year. I don't see the point of going for wasting.
Would you put it on the warrant? Would you put it on the warrant for this year if we've got until May 22nd to come up with a value?
We may.
Yeah, if we're going to do it as a warrant, why not? I mean, or do it, if we had talked about maybe redoing a hearing in the spring with some of the policy, the beach policy or whatever. So I think to do it, to me, we learn everything we have to learn. We go to the public, and then if they say, yeah, we're in support of this, then we put it on the market. I don't think we have to wait. Or we say, I don't see this being that far down the line. Right now, the market is hot. We should be, if we're going to sell it, we should sell it now.
Right. So, the Paula's question, we'll get three appraisals, three comparative market appraisals, and they may vary widely. I'll be honest with you, it happened to me. So, you may want to then question each of the realtors, why is your figure so out of line with these other two or three, however many we get? And then we can choose, based on their answers, which realtor would be the best person to represent building in the sale.
Yeah, see, I guess for me, what I'm saying is when I sold the house, I asked them for a marketing plan. I want to know what they're going to do to sell this property. The price is just one component of the whole thing, guys. That's all I'm saying. I think you have and that was to Drusha's point, you have to say, what's your marketing plan? You're going to do open houses? Do you think we should put it up for auction? Are you going to, you know, would you stage it? Like, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. And so, Jay, but back to the question of, you know, this was just brought up as kind of a casual comment at one of our commissioners' meetings, like, hey, what's the value of the lodge? No one uses it. And no one's used it this year, obviously, because of COVID. But even last year, it never got used except for what? 20 of our meetings that we have multiple places that we can use for our meetings.
Right.
It never really gets utilized. It just doesn't. I mean, EPOA has one meeting a year there or two. I think we would definitely want to put it as a warrant article and get the voters to support it outside of not just a public hearing, because that's more of a public hearing is just to get the feel of the audience, not necessarily a legal vote saying, look, the voters voted to do this, so that's why we're doing it.
Right.
So you would put that as a warrant article and get the vote, get voter support to go ahead and sell that lodge. Then subsequent to that, come up with a plan for what are you going to do with the funds.
Exactly. Well, again, there's a lot of things we could do with the funds, but again, that should be up to the voters as well.
Right.
Yeah, but we have to
creating, I mean, and again, this is, you know, 10,000 foot view of putting some type of a building in the Hutwall parking lot that was a single story building that had storage and bathrooms and handicap access and move the office to that new location and just have one of those kind of modular office buildings brought in and put on a foundation of some sort. So,
yeah, I'm not so sure I'm in favor of that, but again, we could, if that building at the lodge was to bring in $400,000, you could basically pay off your Reinhardt project, just the tank portion. I mean, that'd be a big dent in a long-term debt that we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's worthy of another whole meeting, I think, to talk about.
Yeah,
so, I think we're moving this up is because of this lot issue, because I think we figured it would take 6 months to get the thing surveyed and divided. But now that we know it's divided and it's sellable, I think it is an interesting idea if we can get this done by May to get some really good plans, you know. This is what we're going to put it on the market for, you know, but we figured out, what has to be done and all that. Mm-hmm. So
I think the initial part will be just the three realtors will give us their appraisals. They'll go in and grab the comps and offer us, say, well, based on this building, you're looking at 300, but because it's only seasonal, we'll get to take 75,000 deduction. Based on that, it's worth 225. And then once we get that information, you know, we can decide what the next step is going to be. They say it's either it's not worth pursuing or, wow, the market's pretty hot right now. Maybe we should invest some time in an inspection, number one, and maybe even put some money into it to try to winterize it. Who knows?
Right.
So let the office reach out to those three people first. Just see what they can come back with for comps to see if it's even worth pursuing.
Okay. And then we'll have them put together a plan, because this is going to be a difficult building to sell.
It will be.
Yeah.
And then does the town, will you guys have any restrictions? Like, for instance, the future buyer can't tear it down. They have to renovate it as is. Like, will you put provisions on the sale? Like,
no,
what if somebody offers you a pie in the... Yeah, is there covenants that would require the building to stay and be renovated? Or could somebody tear it down?
Yeah, they could probably tear it down and build on the same footprint, and that would be their choice. It would be pretty expensive to do. It's a big footprint. But, we have no covenants, no restrictions, other than regular zoning, which is controlled by the town of Madison.
Okay.
We All could right. put provisions on it, though, right?
Yeah, we
can.
Wanted
to?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Right, we just don't want somebody to build some monstrosity up there.
Right.
But you either have to keep the building as is or they can do whatever they want. I don't know how. We can't say, I don't think we could say it has to be a, I don't know if we legally could say that. If we sold it to them and they decide to, put a big, huge, bright pink four-story building up there. It's their land. As long as they're not violating any zoning ordinances.
Yeah, it would deter from the price if you were to put restrictions on what they could do on the property.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see what the realtors have to say. They may say, "You guys are nuts," or they may say, "Wow, this is a nice piece of property. Let's go for it."
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, Jay,
Bob, excuse me. Bob Ingram did join the meeting. He has been on.
Whoa. Okay.
Hi, Bob. Okay.
Hi, Bob. Hello. Hi. How's everybody
today? Bob, I think we're all set on that discussion with the lodge. So I'm going to switch over to Bob. Bob, what do you got?
Mm-hmm. Hi. Well, I think that there's a feeling in the community that the election ought to go forward and not wait until May, and I just wanted to see what your opinions were of that. I know that I believe we have the ability to have the election and then have the annual meeting later.
Okay.
Has anybody reached out to the office? Concerned about the May 22nd date for the election?
We haven't announced it yet. But very few
people
know about the date, right?
I suppose just people who have been following the meetings.
Yes. And clerk.
Right, because I don't think there was a final announcement yet, right?
Correct. We have not. Yeah, we postponed it till today, assuming we'd have all the information about how we're going to do the voting. And if, in fact, we can do the drive-through voting, which apparently we cannot do.
Right.
So we'd have to hold
we
an election
split up
in a public place. So if we were going to do it early, like 4 weeks or 3 weeks from now, we'd have to – I don't know how much notice we have to give. Well, we have to do the absentee 14 ballot.
14 days, I believe. I believe it's 14 days, but you'd want to allow time, I think, for an absentee ballot process, especially this year, because I'm sure – there will be more people wanting to do that than maybe in other years.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the date for the candidates to apply for the positions that are open, I know we haven't settled on that. We had a little discussion last week, and we were going to get an answer this week. I don't know. Donna, have you been able to look into that to
Let me see. Hang on, Jay. Hang on a second. I think it was, if we go to...
I'm just going through the last week's minutes.
That municipal calendar.
What would the extra cost be to have two separate elections? Is it prudent to separate them if we're say, fairly close anyway?
No extra cost, except maybe a cleaning charge for the school gymnasium. I think that'd be about it. And to have the checklist committee folks from Madison, the voter checklist committee, be present at both meetings.
Do we pay them by the hour?
No, we usually get
them a flat rate.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
$2.75 a flat rate, or $2.50, excuse me.
Do we need? Would we have to have them at the annual meeting in case something came up for secret ballot?
Yeah,
is that the only reason they have to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to be at the annual meeting to verify and give the colored slips to the actual voters versus non-voters.
Correct.
Oh, because normally you get those when you vote. But you would.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Plus, they have to be there throughout the meeting. Plus, they have to be there throughout the meeting in case there is a request for a secret ballot.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
It's $2.75 that we pay
him.
Okay. So, Jay?
Yep.
So, under this NHMA calendar, it says that if you were doing it on the traditional date, it's January 20th, which is the first day that candidates and towns can file their declarations. The RSA is the seventh Wednesday before your town meeting.
Right.
That's the first date that the candidates can apply for declarations if you're going to run for a seat. So if we pick May 22nd, it'll be the seventh Wednesday before that date.
March 31st.
Then the last date for filing will be the Friday.
It's 10 days later, basically, on Friday.
Yep. The Friday next, following the first day. So it's the Friday, a week, two Fridays from that date.
Okay, so that gives us a period of...
You're saying, Don, it would be 3/31 is seven Wednesdays?
That's seven Wednesday prior to the meeting.
Okay.
And then they have 10 days.
April.
And there's 10 days that are open for people to declare their candidacy.
9th.
Okay, April 9th.
So April 9th, and then we once somebody declares. Go ahead.
I'm getting April 7th. I'm counting back seven Wednesdays from May 22nd, and I'm getting April 7th. The 19th of May.
Oh, I was counting the Saturdays. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
would be
6.
April 7th.
Yes, April 7th. I'm sorry. I was counting the Saturdays, Paula.
Okay. So April 7th
is the first day.
And then February.
And then
April 7th, and then you would run until the 16th of April would be the last
16th.
Day.
Okay, the 16th. Then, so at the 16th, we would know who was going to be on the ballot. So now you've got to mail the ballots to the absentee voters, and they have to get the, say it takes 4 or 5 days for them to get it, and then they have to get it back to us. Why are we not waiting until the May meeting to do it? I don't think it accomplishes anything by going any sooner.
I mean, my question, I'm sort of in the odd position.
You're not the one
talking
about that.
I'm the person whose spot is open for vote. I mean, but here's what I don't know. This is what kind of concerns me, and this is a typical community thing. And Bob, I respect you're saying there's a feeling in the community. First of all, we haven't even announced the date of the meeting. So I don't know who this feeling is coming from. Is it five people? Is it three people? Is it 30 people? I don't know what that means. You know, so to base a decision on that is, I don't think it's a good idea. If people, we announce the date, and then people want to, we get a flood of calls to the office saying, absolutely not, we need to have the election as soon as possible. Okay, then we should consider it, but I don't know what that means, the feeling in the community.
Well, it brought my attention, and you know, that way, that there are people, you know, kind of things interested. I just want to throw out, my first thoughts was the same thing, is how do we schedule it, and what is the real benefit of any to schedule it sooner? Because if we decided today that we want to do it sooner, the earliest we could probably do this then would be, what are we just talking about, 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, to me, we're already well into April, and so, you know, I would suggest we go forward the way we had planned. Plus, this, I don't see the need of having to spend more money. You know, I mean, you have to have 2 days worth of check, the checklist people, and if we do have to pay for cleaning the school twice, I don't see the value of that. So, that's my opinion anyway.
Okay.
So I guess we go forward with what we the plan is, which is to do it on May 22nd. I'm not sure why we didn't need at this point to do May 22nd, except that we think that maybe some more people will feel safer at that point.
Well, I think the whole thing was we delayed it because of COVID, and we're going as late as we can. So to invite people earlier into the gym and to put people at risk again during the voting. But I don't understand why we would do that.
I think we initially said that we were going to do it outside, and that's why we were pushing it off as late as we could. You know. That's how I think that's how it started. But I think that that's sort of what we've got planned, and I think we should go forward that way.
Yeah, and I think Bob too. By in May versus March, you're going to have how many more people have opportunities to get vaccinated?
Right.
You know, if you've got the whole month, instead of March 6th, which was our original date, now you've got March, April, and most of May. So in 3 months, I would assume most of the people that are 65 and over will have had an opportunity to get not only their first shot, but their second shot.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, they're moving all the April people up to March right now. That was on the news yesterday.
Oh,
so
good.
Really,
oh,
everyone in the current group should be done, should get their first shot by the end of March.
Yeah,
I hope they save a spot for the second shot for April, because I'm not sure how that's playing. I haven't talked to anybody who has had the. I'm having my first one on Sunday, and I don't know whether I haven't talked to anybody who has had their first shot and got an appointment for the second one. But,
yes, they have. That's China. That's what they do. They give you your second appointment when you take
that day.
Your first shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
yeah.
I know. I when I asked that question, they couldn't tell me for sure. That might be the case, or you might have to go online, is what they told me. So, anyway, okay, it sounds like the plan then.
Okay. So now I guess Bob and Jay, do we want to make the announcement official today so that we can at least get that information out on the website?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
when are we
going
to have the public hearing? We need to set the budget hearing. For four, whatever that was, 30 days or 5 weeks.
Yeah, let me go back to that document.
That rule? I can find it too, Kathy. The rule with all the dates. I have that traditional town meeting
thing. I just
have
it. Yep. Where was that? Okay, here, traditional town meeting. All right, I've got the document here. Let's see, just to make sure. Petitions. All right, so... It's 10 clear days before we have to have the meeting, 10 clear days before the annual meeting. And clear days means, it took me 6 weeks to figure that out, but clear days means not the day of the meeting, not the day of the annual meeting, and not the day of the public hearing. So 10 days in between the public hearing and the annual meeting. That's the latest that you can have it. Okay, so if we went to... May 22nd.
Wait, I'm
sorry, you can't count
days?
10. That's the,
I thought it was 30, Kathy.
I thought it was 30. It's 25 days before the town meeting.
Oh,
I'm looking at your last day.
All right, no.
Last day to hold at least one public hearing on the annual budget. And it says you can actually hold supplemental hearings after this, but the first one that you hold has to be 25 days before the town meeting.
Does that include weekends business days?
Clear days means you can include Saturday and Sunday, but you can't include the day of the meetings.
This doesn't say clear days. This just says 25 days before the town meeting.
You know,
RSA
I was reading posting
5.
The adoption. Last day to put first day to hold a public hearing on the bond. We don't need that. I was looking at to post the notice for the first hearing on an amendment, and that was wrong.
Now this is I have it written here. Last day to hold at least one public hearing on annual budget is 25 mm-hmm. days before the town meeting. It's RSA 32:5-1 and 4, 1 and 5.
Okay. So May 22nd. So the last day would be 30 days.
25 days.
So 1, 2,
23, 24, 25. 27th of April.
So 25, so it would be the 20. I would say the 26th, so you're not including that date.
Yeah.
Right. And add another week to that in case we have a snow day.
So you want to go back one more week?
How about April 22nd? How about Thursday, April 22nd? Or Wednesday? We wanted to do it on a weeknight, right? We can go back further. That's the last day you can have it. If you want, we can have it earlier. There's no reason not to have it earlier. I mean, we don't, right? Unless, are we doing it in person or doing it by phone? Are we doing video or phone?
We'll probably do it virtually.
Okay.
So we want to do it right now.
So April 22nd would be a good date, and then April 29th can be our second snow date, or if it has to be extended.
Right.
So if needed. 26th. The 29th, go to April 22nd, and then we'll do the following Thursday, April 29th.
This is
on April.
April, this is a snow date. Would be too late. I thought it had to be. I think, isn't the 29th too late as a snow date?
No, as long as you have one.
Right, but if we don't have it on the 22nd because of snow, we would still have to have it within the 25 days, so wouldn't that really have to be the 26th or 27th for a snow date?
But if we're doing it virtually, a snow date shouldn't be necessary.
So what if we have to extend it, Bob? What if we don't get through all of the information and we have to adjourn and continue?
The second one doesn't have to be between 25 days.
The original one.
Okay. Yep. The first one.
Okay.
It's highly unlikely that we would have a snow day that late in April.
April, right. And again, if it's virtual,
thank
like you said, it wouldn't
thank
make
you
a
for
difference.
There's a possibility. There's a possibility, but.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's also unlikely that it will ever snow in Dallas, Texas.
Right. Oh.
Poor people.
Okay. All right. So if we have to continue the meeting for any reason, we can use the 29th as the subsequent date. Or we can do it Monday the 26th, just to make sure that we're all within those 30 days, those 25 days.
4/22 is Earth Day.
Oh, no, not Earth Day. So you want to do the 22nd and the 29th or the 22nd and the 26th? You want to do Monday as the continuance?
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll do the 26th just to make sure we're covered.
Okay. We wouldn't want to change anything, right? Because the beauty of doing it the following week is if we wanted to discuss what happened in the first hearing. But we really want to change things between the first and the second meeting, right?
The only reason we would continue it is if we didn't get through the entire budget and all the warrant articles.
Okay.
That we still need additional discussion on the overall warrant. I don't think we would go back. We wouldn't go back and adjust and modify because then you're starting all over again.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So now we put, if we do that information, we put that out. And are we going to use the Microsoft Teams as our virtual platform?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I thought you guys that we can we do this virtually if we do everything else? I thought Bob said, or is that just the voting you have to do with
that's just
meeting?
The annual meeting.
That was the annual meeting.
Yeah, okay. The voting and the annual meeting has to be, you have to follow either the virtual version or the in-person version. So now, do we want to do this on the conference call that we're doing now, or do we want to have people virtually visible?
Virtually visible.
Are there presentations that you want to show?
Right.
If we don't want to show presentations, we'll have to use Teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to have visual aids, so I think we should have it on a video.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now do we want to do the same thing that we discussed prior, was maybe have a practice session so that the public wants just to make sure that they can connect without any technical difficulties and do that maybe the Monday before on the 19th? Have a little practice section for Teams?
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Because even though when the three of us did it as a quick little practice with Donna, every one of us had, well, I did, you know, a little glitch to get the microphone on, and so it might behoove us, I think, just to, for even though it's just a, not just, but even though it's the budget hearing, that we do a little practice Microsoft Teams for those that might struggle with the technical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to pick that date? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the other thing is we also have to post the warrant prior to that public hearing so people know what is going to be discussed.
Right.
There's so many days before that meeting that has to be posted.
Yep. Okay, so that's the 19th, and then that'll be our practice Microsoft Teams, EEAMS, and we'll do like a 7 p.m. on that. I just want to put the information out there so people aren't questioning how we're going to go forward. Now, our budget hearings are going to be at 7 o'clock. Those are both going to be at 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Thursday, 7 p.m., 7 p.m. if we have to extend it. The Microsoft Teams practice session will be on the 19th. And then, so if the 22nd is the budget hearing, then how many days, Donna, before the hearing do we have to put the notice in the paper?
I think 30 days is the 30-day for the notice.
Okay.
And budget committee has also the budget committee at 2:30.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 25. So we're looking at maybe the March 26th for the paper note, for the notice in the paper. I don't know if you're coming back or not.
I'm sorry. I was doing something.
I'm sorry.
So
from April 22nd.
15, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I have 30 days as the 23rd of March.
What day do
you count Saturdays and Sundays?
It's a Tuesday.
March 22nd is a Monday.
Right, it's a Tuesday,
23.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So as long as we get the ad in the paper by the 23rd.
That's the latest, right? We can put it in the
latest
week before even. Yeah.
Okay. So now, Jay. Now, in the past, the public never had. The public did not have a copy of the proposed budget or the proposed warrant articles until the day of the meeting. Now, because it's going to be virtual, I do agree, because I think you mentioned it, that it would make sense to make all that information available ahead of time.
Yes.
Since they wouldn't have an opportunity to come in person and have a discussion, they would have an opportunity to review it ahead of time, so that would streamline, I think, the budget hearing itself. But it would also, and we have it pretty much nailed down, I think. And this way we could print out packets and have them available at the office starting on maybe a week prior to the budget hearing.
Yeah, and they can also go to the website and print it on their own as well.
Yep. Okay. So nothing has to be entered into DRA until after that. So we don't have to worry about getting anything pushed through that portal.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I'm just looking at the information that we want to put out on the website, and then maybe Jerusha and I can have a conversation one day this, either probably early next week, about the website and MailChimp, and this could be a good first pass at handing the reins over to her on doing this.
There you go.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect is right.
So, perfect.
But I just want to get all the specifics down before first, and then, you know, just getting it pushed out through those two platforms, both the website and our MailChimp would be great.
Yep.
So, okay. So is there anything else?
One question. So just to confirm, because we've got some dates. So we're going to make sure that we have the proposed budget or the public hearing materials available by Thursday the 15th for the public to access for the meeting on the 22nd.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, and we should have that.
For the hearing on the 22nd.
Yep. So we'll have a copy of the proposed budget and the proposed warrant articles.
Okay.
By April 15th, okay. All right. And we'll have them on the website as well. So
I
it should be all.
Wait, it would be March 15th.
Oh, sorry.
Because the hearings are in March.
No, wait, April or March?
No.
The hearing's April 22nd, so the week before that, they can pick up hard copies. And if it's already before fine.
You're right. I'm going by the. I'm looking at the date of when we're posting it in the paper. 4/15. Yeah. Okay.
So now, should the information being pushed to the public go into any detail about how the annual meeting's going to be run at this point, as far as, you know, the protocol, or just wait until we get closer?
No, just obviously wear a mask. I think everybody knows that now, and. It's Bob's rules. Protocols will take place.
Say that again, Jay. You're breaking up a little bit.
Bob's. Bob's the moderator, so whatever he requires to enter the gymnasium, whether it be wearing a mask or segregating yourself, that'll be up to Bob. And I don't think there's really any information given out prior to the November elections, but it was well orchestrated at the Madison Gym as far as social distancing and stuff.
Right. Okay. We want to tell them about times, though, right? You want to make sure that they understand the time. Remember we talked about the voting being an hour in between the meetings, in between the voting and the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, putting it in now, they'll have to be reminded later anyway.
Yeah.
So I think about, we want to notify them of when things are going to take place, but I think it might behoove us to do something a little bit closer as a reminder that this is what, you know, how it's going to work. Voting is going to be from 8 to 10 and meeting starting at 11 or whatever we have determined that the case. You mentioned certain dates for candidates. More importantly, I think, is that, because that's going to come up sooner than hearing, right? So whatever the date is for them to begin and end the process of submitting their candidacy is crucial for this, right?
Yeah.
You talk about getting it in the paper for March 15th or something like that. Is that what's the timing again on when they can need to take their papers? You know, submit their papers for running.
It's seven weeks before the annual meeting.
Right. So and again, that was what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's like the very beginning of April. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
March 15th works. So when that piece goes in the paper, we want to make sure we have the dates for that, right? And the dates for
now,
the
we put that in
election and, you know.
Okay. But that doesn't have to go in the paper. I think the only thing that goes in the paper is the announcement of the public hearing.
Communicate.
I think if you're going to send an email with all these dates, you should put in the dates, I think, that people can apply to run for office in an email and on the website. Between April 7th and April 16th. Those are the two dates we determined, I believe.
Okay, so say that again. So
what?
So to if you want to run for office, it'll be between April 7th and April 16th. And then you should put in there, if you've already submitted paperwork to do this, you don't need to resubmit it. We will contact you to confirm you're still interested or whatever, you still want to be on the ballot.
Hold on, I thought Kathy said 7 weeks.
Right.
Before the annual meeting.
Before the annual meeting.
Annual meeting is May 22nd. That's week. Yeah. This one was at week 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the 9th, April 9th.
Yeah, but it's Wednesday. You have to go by Wednesday. So the first day you submit is April 7th. The 7th Wednesday before the annual meeting.
Right.
That's the first day you can submit.
Oh, you said
April 7th. The last.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's right.
The last date is April 16th.
16th,
which
okay.
is the following
right.
Friday.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I would put that in.
Okay, if there's only one person we have to call and say, look, if you've already put in your candidacy forms, you don't have to do it again. I don't know if we have to make a statement about that.
Let me ask one more question. What if somebody wants to put in a petition warrant article? Should we give the dates for that?
You have to, yeah.
You have to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, petitioned.
Hi, this is Dana. Mm. That's usually right for the budget hearing. They have to be in by...
Yeah, the same Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let's look up the law exactly what day that is.
Yeah,
make sure.
Planning board.
Oh, here it is. Last Tuesday. It's the fifth Tuesday before the town meeting. Last day for 25 or more voters, or 2% of the total, whichever is less. But in no case fewer than 10 voters to petition select board to include an article in the warrant. The fifth Tuesday before the town meeting. Hold on.
First.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have April 20th.
Which would be perfect because that's 2 days before the public hearing.
April 20th, yep.
Okay. And it has to be signed by 10 registered voters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's a petition. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if that makes a difference for yourself.
Very good. I got to run, guys. It sounds like we have a good plan going. I will talk with you all later. Yep. Bye.
All right, Bob. Thank you.
Bye, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
All right.
It just hit one.
No, but why am I going?
Okay. No, just hit logger.
Wait. I have two windows. Okay. Oh, no, I don't.
Just hit.
No. But does that stop people? Oh, thank God.
Okay.
Okay.
So we get all those dates?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll reach out to Andrew. I know it's a ways away, but I'll reach out to Andrew to see if he's available on the 19th. Or, you know what? Jerusha, how good are you at Microsoft Teams?
Well, the first time I used it was our meeting, so I guess I'm a pro now.
Well, there you go. So
I will be a pro.
Okay, because we do have a resident that lives in the district. Well, he has a second home in the district, and he's pretty IT network communication savvy, and he works for Google. And so he was the one we were reaching out to for assistance with some of these things. But I think that would be a great project if you even wanted to do a practice one with just the commissioners here, you know, set up a date, invite us, and maybe after one of our commissioners' meetings, just to kind of, you know, see what the structure's like, and if we're raising our hands and muting the commissioners, dialing in remotely, that would be a much valued service if you could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even I was thinking the when we get the notifications, the public notices together, not what goes in the paper, but probably something on the website to give people a link where they can go, read a really quick tutorial or watch like a minute long video, something to help people in advance of the meeting.
There you go. Yep. why we were doing that. That's why we did sort of the practice session. And it wasn't, all it was just to send out an invite, and if anybody was concerned about their technical abilities, if they could log in and we go, hey, we see you, we can hear you, you can hear us, yay, it works, goodbye. And that's all that practice section was. We've got people in the district that are you know, it's tough if you're not used to communicating that way and using web-based,
yeah,
you know, information. We just wanted to make sure that,
yeah,
as many people as possible could participate.
And the link also gives a phone number that people,
yep,
can call into.
Yeah. Right. And then they would be listening just like this. They would be audio only. Yeah. And we do one thing you can do too, Jerusha, is we did do this, is that one person would have the PowerPoint presentation. And so instead of it being one of the commissioners having to manage the PowerPoint, have one of the administrators have the PowerPoint, next slide. And so they would also be sort,
yeah,
of cycling through the PowerPoint that the rest of the audience would be able to view while we're not looking at each other on the screen. So once we get into the PowerPoint portion of it, okay?
Right, share my screen and be in charge of the
exactly.
Click.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Okay.
All right.
So, just to follow up on the dates and everything, are one of you, or do you want the office to put together a summary of the dates that we talked about to confirm that we're on the same page, you've got everything right, and
I'll have it in the minutes. So why don't I send it over this afternoon when the minutes are even?
Okay, perfect.
I'm typing the minutes right now as we go, so I can just send these over and you can confirm it's what you have. It's not very user-friendly. It's in a paragraph form. So if you have been keeping notes and want to write it up as a list, that would be fine, too. Whatever.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe run it by us, and then if we all kind of, instead of waiting till Thursday, you know, if just send it to us and say, you know, draft of the notice, you know, please comment on any errors or omissions. So we can't discuss it outside of the commissioner's meeting, but we can certainly just say, yep, that looks good. Go ahead and let's go forward.
Yeah. Kathy,
okay.
Are you going to do an email? You going to do an email?
Well, once you get the notice electronically typed up, you can cut and paste it into a MailChimp, and you can cut and paste it onto the website. So it's once the actual language is determined and the dates are laid out, we can just cut and paste it. And if Jerusha, are you going to be in Monday or Tuesday next week, or both days?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So,
I am at your disposal. So obviously town meeting prep is a busier time of year in terms of hours. So so I figured it would suss out over the full calendar year. There'll be weeks later that aren't as busy. So but this is obviously important to get to be timely on. So
And you know, there are people in our public that really want to know exactly what's going on, and we have to be, you know, sensitive to that, and we got to make sure it's accurate. So, and in the past, you know, I guess just for her information, we were doing things based on what we've always done, and come to find out some of those were not exactly correct. So we're making every effort to make sure that we don't miss any of these deadlines. And, you know, going back and counting back, you know, all these different dates and stuff seems silly that we've been doing this for 30 years and we still can't get it right. But, you know, we want to make sure that every one of those deadlines is met correctly.
Okay. I want to drop down to commissioners' reports, and I'll go first. I'll try to go fast. Again, I'm still looking at the on-call engineering services. We did also receive an email from Wright & Pierce, that's the same organization, with regards to a quote for their services in performing the asset management project. I'm going to bring that to the Water Committee, and we'll discuss and get back to the board on that. I want to jump back to
Jay, can I interrupt? Jay, has the Water Committee decided on a date yet for their meeting? Have they called a meeting yet?
No.
Okay. Are you waiting to get more information on this Wright & Pierce prior to having that meeting?
Exactly. This is what I was waiting for. And now we have something to discuss. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I sent an email out earlier this week about the Ford F-550.
with MunisiBid.com. The bidding period, which is only 2 weeks on MunisiBid, has closed, and we got no bids. We did get questions, but we did not get any bids. And I just wanted to make sure. We also put this in the, I believe we put it in three local papers, right, Donna?
No.
Ford 550? Because that's in the minutes from last week that we were going to do that. Not last week, I'm sorry. That was in the minutes of...
We were going to use all whatever the Conway Daily Sun has, like three different, like the Littleton paper, and they have a couple surrounding towns in addition to the Conway one. It all fall under the same owner.
Yeah, that was on January 21st. We said we'd use Craigslist, MunisiBid, and three local papers. Okay. We have had some interest from someone, I guess, who saw the Craigslist advertisement. I guess it's not too late if we can get that in the newspaper.
Okay.
So does she have a nice write-up that she can use, Jay?
Yeah, use the same thing I used on Craigslist or MunisiBid. Just cut and paste.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And maybe put in there, you know, see Craigslist for photos.
No, I mean, you can. The photos are there. You should be able to just cut and paste.
No, but if you don't want to.
Yeah, but that would cost a fortune in the paper.
Yeah, okay.
Are you clear on what the three papers are, Donna?
Yes, Jamie Brothers over Conway. I reached out. I let you people know what it would cost, and that was. That's what I. I never got the. Actual to put it in the paper, so I will put it in the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Right. Yeah, we decided on the 21st of January. Okay.
Is the paper ad going to ask for bids, and is there a date? Because we've missed it. We've gone by the date, right?
Yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah, we
need the date. Well, the date is February the 24th, which is Wednesday of next week, I believe. We were going to have all the bids in before our actual meeting on Thursday. So if you want to wait, here's a suggestion. If we want to wait and if we get no bids, we're going to have to adjust the price anyhow and then maybe put the ads in the paper then with going back to MunisiBid and Craigslist with a new price.
That's probably a good idea. That's probably a good idea. Let the 24th lapse, and then on the 25th we can start all over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now, did the individual, and you don't have to tell me how much, but did the individual that was interested through the Craigslist ad, I mean, was it did they make a serious offer?
I don't.
They haven't sent anything in.
Okay.
They asked for the date, and I gave it to them as of the 23rd. And I said send something into the office and haven't received anything yet.
Okay. All right.
And as far as the emergency action plan for our dam on the small pond, the message I received from Stephanie was that she is waiting for her administration to just sign the quote before sending it over to us. We also discussed last week, we had made a decision about the rooms and meals tax that is the proceeds are received by the town of Madison and whether it would be worth it for us to suggest at their town meeting that we get a portion of that. And I'm sort of in favor of that, and I don't mind writing that article and then presenting that at the Madison town meeting. If the other two commissioners agree.
So, Jay, I kind of poo-pooed the idea last week saying that, you know, everybody's in financial straits this year and that it might not be the best year for us to approach the town for that. But one thing, and again, with Jerusha on board, it's something that I thought I would go forward and try to investigate and just didn't. But when the town of Madison collects room and meals tax from the rental properties, is there a way that the state has it in detail So was there, and maybe if Jerusha could find out if that 9% meals and rooms tax database for the town of Madison exists. And we, if we could go through, we could very easily, you know, highlight all the roads in Idlewise and say, look, of your $330,000 that you get in Madison, $100,000 of it came from Idlewise, and we're only asking for $10,000. So if there was a way we had an actual value to what Idlewise property was bringing to the total amount that Madison was collecting from the state.
Yeah. So I had inquired almost a year ago with that same question to the DRA, and the answer is yes. They know the addresses from which the revenues were received. So we can break down. Yeah, it's not something I could dial into right now. You have to, and I'm not sure what form we have to fill out, but we'd have to go through the DRA to have them give us that detailed information, and then we can
Go through
my state. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it was electronically, we could go through, and I think very, you know, easily, because Madison's not that big, but there'll be, you know, other properties other than Idlewise that are contributing that 9%. And, of course, the town only gets, what, 3% of the 9%, but still, it came out to a fairly substantial chunk of change that Madison gets based on our rentals that we don't get any portion of that. So, Jerusha, if that's something you wanted to take a look at and just see if the state could provide us with the detail of the room and meals tax collected in our zip code, which the whole town of Madison is in 03849.
I could work with you on that, Julie, so I have some background on that.
Okay.
All right.
I think that it would be a more compelling argument if we knew the actual value of what Idlewise brought to that disbursement that the state makes to the town.
Yep. Okay. All right.
And what is the date of that meeting, the town of Madison?
May 15th.
Okay. Just so we can get the correct date so we don't mess up filing that with them, Jay.
Yeah, no, they're gonna post all their dates just as we are, so we'll have that information to us as well.
Okay.
So I've been trying to find one of our previous residents who had agreed to pay with monthly payments the water bill that was back in arrears, and then that person sort of skipped town. So what I found out is that this individual has been living in different towns, Madison being one, Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, New Bedford, Massachusetts, Acushnet, Massachusetts. I'm trying to find which town is he living in today, so that we can locate him and make sure that we make contact so that he starts making his payments again.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to move a lot.
staying one step above the law.
Yeah, oh yeah. the other thing that came up last week, we talked about a driveway permit for number 8 Granville. That is on a Class 5 road.
Yep, I found that out.
Yep. Payment of water. Oh, did we get the first payment of the late water bill from a?
Yes, we did.
Okay, and did we get the second one yet? Would it be this week?
No, it just came this week. So, and I sent out email statement to her.
Okay, with the new bill, what's remaining?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. All right. And so before we have our water committee meeting to go over some of this asset management stuff, Don, I don't know if you remember, but Ian had given us a handful of index cards showing where locations were for these new curb stop hookups and such, and those were supposed to be scanned onto a form which goes into the curb stop valve and isolation valve database.
Yep, I did that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got that done. All right. And, hang on, 59 Idlewise Drive. So they had a water hookup that was approved in 2017. And from our discussion a couple of weeks ago, have we not been billing them until recently when they just sold the house?
No, Jay, that was discussed at a meeting prior that you guys agreed that we couldn't go back except for last year to get the water bill.
Yeah.
It has been paid, and the new owners, the bill is in their name for this year coming up.
Okay, so they paid one bill already, last year's bill?
They paid what you people voted on to, because the water hookup fell through the cracks. And the home has been sold since, but everything was cleared up prior to the sale with the builder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so has the builder paid anything other than a new homeowner, the Smiths that live there now?
No.
No.
Builder paid the water bill that I found that was never billed. And the Board of Commissioners at a meeting voted that we can collect last year's bill, but not the previous year's because it was our fault that we never billed them.
Okay, and so we collected that last year's bill, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right, that's all that I have. Okay. So, Kathy?
Okay. I took the motion action log. I did clean it up a little bit. I think we're going to get rid of some of the columns. I added the action items from last two meetings. I'll add the couple of things from this meeting, which there really isn't a whole heck of a lot, and then I'll send that out again. And, you know, this may, again, be something that Jerusha could take over.
Yeah, we can go forward.
Yeah, so we basically just, at the end of each meeting, we just keep a list of things that we're supposed to do and who's supposed to do them, because oftentimes they get lost in the shuffle. We all, you know, yep, I'll take care of it. And then, 4 weeks later, we kind of lost track of who was supposed to do it and whether or not it got done. So I'll clean that up a little bit more, get some different, I think we had too many columns on that. It's really just a reminder log so that we don't forget to follow up on things. And I'll forward that to the office. And Jay, you were going to go back and kind of look at a few months earlier.
Yeah.
When we were
actually
sort of lapsing.
The January. 2019 log. Yeah.
Yeah, and just see if there's anything else you wanted to add. But I think that's something that would be a perfect activity for Jerusha, because it doesn't really affect the administrative side of the office as far as the bills and the paperwork, but it's just a nice little additional document that we use just to make our meetings go more efficiently and make sure we don't forget anything. So
yeah.
I'll clean that up a little bit, and I'll add today's meeting action items, and then I will forward that to her. Now, does Jerusha have any – is she set up, Donna, you're just using the office at VDOE for her as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
All right, Paula?
I don't really, the only thing I contacted, I reached out to Ian yesterday asking him status on the emergency water plan. I haven't heard back yet, so we still have plenty of time. Let's do it at the end of March. But he had said 2 weeks ago he had the information. He just had to kind of type it up. So just waiting to hear back. So hopefully by next week I'll have status and potentially even a draft of that ready. I think that's all I have.
All right.
So, Jay, can I ask you a quick question? So when you were talking about the asset management with Wright and Pierce, and it was, what a coincidence that his quote came in at exactly $40,000. I thought that was pretty amazing. But the LIDAR mapping that we have paid for, is that just the topographical map of the district? And what is it that we are going to be, it sounded like there was more information that had to be put on that map before it became valuable from a hydraulic modeling standpoint.
So you'd lay the infrastructure, the water system, onto that map. But we first need to get that map done. And to be honest, that's holding up the solution to the Upper Lakeview pressure zone.
Right.
And I just don't understand why. Again, I'm going to be drafting a letter to Jones and Beach asking where these deliverables are.
But the LIDAR map. So what we're paying for under that contract is the LIDAR map without our infrastructure or with our infrastructure? They don't even know where our infrastructure is.
Yes. So the LIDAR map was supposed to contain. If you remember, I talked about a surveyor getting accurate readings of where the new pump house is, where the new gate valves are, where the new blow-offs are. Yeah, so that is all to be plotted on the LIDAR map as the beginning of the asset management map. You saw in the proposal by Wright and Pierce, they're basically going to generate the same thing for a value of $8,000. And I'm like, no thanks, because we've already paid for it. And so we're just going to use what Jones and Beach is going to give to us. And there were a lot of questions that I have on the Wright and Pierce proposal. They just basically, for that $40,000, just to summarize it, they're going to review the data that we already have collected by the volunteers and the people that were paid for summer help, and basically go over it for $40,000. I'm not too keen on that.
But right. Go
ahead.
Okay. So I guess back to my original question. So the deliverable that we're supposed to get from Jones and Beach is, I mean, the LIDAR map itself is a government map. They're not creating the topographical map. That's just something available through GIS, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. And so what they were doing is taking that map and putting on it all the stuff that they worked on. So the 4,400 feet, all the curb stop valves up there, the PRV pit, and the pump house in the tank. Okay.
Okay. Jay, Jay, when you write the minutes, I mean the letter to Jones and Beach, don't forget to touch base with contract number 6.
Oh yes, they still need to explain that expense.
Yeah, two of them.
You can send that email along with it that I sent to him again, that I sent to you people on February 4th. I still haven't heard back.
No, we saw that, But the thing I think the three commissioners we've experienced this year is that we have dug in the ground on streets where we expected there to be a water main because we had paper maps in our hands showing that there was one, when in fact there was none. And what I want more than anything else is a actual map showing exactly where the water pipe is by using ultrasonic waves that are going to penetrate the ground and find those pipes and in which direction they go. If they cross the street to the left, they cross the street to the right, I want to know that. And I want it plotted. Because we waste way too much time and excavation money on trying to find these pipes. And that's what our biggest problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not presented in the proposal by Wright and Pierce.
Okay. Now, is that a conversation we have with Chris to kind of, since he knows the detail of our, not the detail, but he knows the struggles that we have with our system, and to convey that to Wright and Pierce as their kind of liaison?
Yeah. As you start in the proposal, Chris would be their boots on the ground person.
Yep, I saw that at the end.
There was any field work that needed to be done. But what Wright and Pierce was basically stating was that they were going to take existing drawings and just simply overlay that onto the LIDAR map. And that's the problem we have, is that the existing drawings are filled with errors.
Yep. Or they're old. They're just they're not current.
Right.
Okay. All right. I was just confused between the idea of the LIDAR map and then what that Wright and Pierce proposal was doing. So that's, I guess that clarifies it, that what we're getting from Jones and Beach will just have that the Reinhardt tank project on the map. That's all that their contract required them to do.
Right. 4,000 feet of the pipe and pump out the tank. And all the valves and infrastructure that are associated with that.
Yep. Okay. All right. That was my only question. All right. So I didn't mean to get sidetracked with that, but.
Okay.
All right.
For correspondence, we had the letter from Captain Dier reaching out to auditor, and we also had a letter from Bob Ingram, an email, reporting, as they stated, that it's either virtual style or traditional style. You can't have a hybrid.
Okay. So we got that.
That's amazing.
We don't have to go through this again, did we already?
Right.
Okay.
So, public comment. Do we have anybody in the public with any public comment?
Did you just die? Okay.
No, let's see. Yeah.
Okay. Hearing none. Kathy, Paula, do we have any other additional business for today?
Nope. Just want to welcome Jerusha and look forward to her expertise going forward.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome.
All right. Paula, anything?
Nope.
Okay. I will make a motion to adjourn at 10:55. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.